Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Throwback, where we hear a story from the 80s where Shauna's parents help her see clearly against all odds. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 158. Hi, Shauna.
Hey.
Hello. So we all want to know what's going on with you. How old are your girls? And yeah, just tell us. Tell us what's going on in your life.
Oh, I will. I'm fully prepared. So Cece is 2.5 now, officially.
Aww,
she's a big girl.
Big girl.
Oh, my goodness. More like she's a big woman. I don't know. Here's the new development in her life. It's like, okay, she was a baby yesterday, and today she no longer wants me anywhere around when she's pooping in the bathroom. Mm. She's like, close the door. Mama, leave. Mama, leave. And makes she wants her privacy. She's
wow.
This tiny little person who wants her privacy. And I give it to her. I leave. I close the door and let her do her thing. And I walked in the other day after, and she had like gotten books and everything. She's just sitting there pooping, reading books, and just all on her own devices. I'm like, oh my God, you're like a full grown human.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
I wonder what the instinct is. Like, obviously, I know I like privacy when I potty, but like, where does that come from? Where does that, I mean, she must hear you say like, I want privacy when I potty, but it's just so interesting that it kicks in all of a sudden. And now she's like, nope, you're not allowed in anymore.
That's so true. The same thing happened with Al, like, you know, pooping eye to eye contact for years. And then all of a sudden one day it was like, leave. I guess it must just be human nature, like that instinctual shame or embarrassment that comes around that kind of stuff. I really don't know. That's a great question.
Can I ask a very specific follow-up question, too?
Yeah.
I assume you still have to help her wipe, right?
Yes, yes, of course. She calls me when she's done.
Got it. Okay, so she says, Mama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't need privacy anymore. Please come wipe my butt.
Yeah. She needs privacy while she sits on the potty, but then has no problem hopping off, putting her butt cheeks up in the air right in my face and having me wipe. Sorry, honey, if you listen to this, like 15 years from now, I'm talking about your butt. Oh, God, I'm a terrible mom. Maybe we should cut this.
No, I think, I think it's normal. And also, I think that if she listens to it 30 years from now, she will totally relate. You know, it's a very relatable mom thing. We deal with a lot of butts.
We do. We do. So that's that. The other thing that comes with being 2.5 is another checkup at the pediatrician. So she had her 30-month checkup.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
It is.
I feel like your doctor's on a different schedule than mine, because ours was just like, okay, we'll see you at 3.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. No, that's interesting, because we also went to a 30-month checkup with Elle when she was this age. We didn't start going yearly until she turned 3. And then we started going once a year.
Interesting.
And she needed a vaccine at this appointment.
She did. Which one?
She got her hepatitis A shot at this one.
Interesting.
So she needed that. Mm-hmm. And they did another vision test and said that was good. And the hepatitis shot, I'd been preparing her, you know, you're going to get a shot and everything. And she was so good and so brave. I held her. The nurse came up, gave her a shot, and she just like watched the needle go in basically and was like, oh, huh. And it bled a little bit. And she was just like, oh, huh. And then the nurse tried to put a Band-Aid on it, and she lost her shit.
Oh, no.
She was screaming at the top of her lungs and like, no Band-Aid, no Band-Aid. And I'm like, usually the kids freak out about the shot and then get excited about the Band-Aid, but my kid is the opposite.
Don't give me comfort. Leave the bleeding wound.
Let the blood drip down my arm. So that was funny. And of course, she's so loud, which we all know. But to confirm it, when I went out to check out at the receptionist afterward, the receptionist looked at Cece and goes, was that you I heard screaming in there? I was like, oh, great. So her screams echo out of the exam room, down the hallway, all the way up to the receptionist. So, yeah.
She makes her presence known. It's a good thing.
Oh, she does. Yes, she does. Otherwise, the appointment went well. And then speaking of appointments, I also recently took Elle to her 5-year appointment because she is starting kindergarten soon, like way too soon for my comfort. I can't believe my baby is starting school. And the doctor said something kind of funny. It's kind of a mini they said what? And I just had to tell you and see what you thought about it.
Okay.
Okay. Her appointment went great. She got a chickenpox booster shot. And right around then, I was like, so what do you think about getting the COVID shot for her, you know, when it's available? Because I was curious what his take on it was. Mm-hmm. I'm open to it, you know, and everything. And he's like, yeah, you know, if it's good. And I was like, oh, okay.
It's good.
Like, if it's good, I'm like, okay. You know, like, you're just like so stunned by someone's answer and confused in the moment. You're just like, okay. And then I left being like, what the fuck does that mean? If it's good, if it's, I had no idea what he meant by that. And it was just so like casual and blasé. So now I'm like, what am I don't know.
I'm assuming he means if these trials and the kids work out, right? Like right now they're doing trials in kids and finding out if it's safe. I'm sure that's what he meant. He probably, okay. I feel like I've spent a lot of time around very blasé doctors in my life. My parents being two of them. And that sounds like something my mom would say. She'd be like, eh, if it works out.
Okay, good. I'm glad I have that insight. I was just like, I don't know. I was so confused by that.
All signs point to it being probably fine, you know, but yeah, that's probably what he meant, was just like, yeah, if it works out, yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
but yeah, those are our big updates for the week. What about you guys? How are things over there?
Oh, things are ramping up over here because we are getting ready to move next week.
That came quickly.
Mm-hmm. It came very quickly. So we finally closed on the house, and now we have to like scramble to get out of this house and move to the new house. And it's like, things are very up in the air. And we had all these plans to like get into the new house early and decorate Augie's room and all this stuff, right?
Right.
But the closing got delayed for just stupid reasons like that I can't even get into right now. Like it's just like technical paperwork reasons, basically. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get access to the house. So now we're going to have like less than a week of access before we move in, and everything's going to be a mess, I'm sure. Like nothing's going to be able to be set up. But we booked the movers for next Wednesday, and we're getting ready.
Very exciting.
And I should say that Augie, he's almost 2.5. He's like a month away from 2.5. And Sebastian is 18 weeks this week.
Okay.
So even though I haven't been able to do much like in anticipation of the move, one thing I did get my ass in gear with this week is I made a social story book for Augie about the move. And we've talked about this. We learned about social stories from John and Allie from the Sensory Overload podcast when they were on our show. And basically, they're just like picture books that prepare kids for events, right? Big events, whether it's flying on a plane for the first time or staying over at grandma's house for overnight for the first time or whatever it might be. And they're used a lot with kids who are on the autism spectrum, but I didn't see why you couldn't just use them with kids who are neurotypical, like I believe Augie is. And I thought it would be really maybe helpful to like wrap his head around the move, because I was nervous. I don't know if I talked about this, but when we were staying in the hotel while our house was being shown, I went over the whole saga.
Oh, you did.
How he was crying and said, I want to go home. I want to go home. And it broke my heart, right? So I'm so worried that we're going to get to the new house and then he's going to do that. And there's not going to be his quote unquote home to go home to.
Right.
So this is how I'm trying to, you know, buffer that. So I made the little book. It's cute. It's called, you know, Augie's New House. And it has pictures of the old house and the new house. And he was into it. I think he was mostly into it because of the pages where I had moving trucks on them.
Well, that's a good way to get him excited about it. I'm sure he's going to be thrilled about the moving truck.
Yeah, and that was strategic on my part. Like, I definitely highlighted the truck aspect of the move.
Right. Oh,
and he's very into workers, too. So I was like, there will be workers called movers who will come and take our boxes and move them. And so he's definitely wanted to read the book a couple times, and he's wanted to, like, get to the truck page. He literally says, like, I want to see the trucks. I want to see the moving trucks. So
I think he basically wants to move into a truck and just live there as his new house.
Pretty much. I mean, if I had had more time and wherewithal, I would have gone in and, like, made his room massively truck themed. But we're just going to have to do it later, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how we're going to pack. Like, I think we're going to have the movers pack half of our stuff because I have no time, you know? Yeah. It's very, very hard. So, because I have an 18-week-old in addition to an almost 2.5-year-old.
Yeah, that's really, really tricky.
Yeah. I kind of wish we had done this before I had the baby, but, you know, life is life. And we're moving now with a baby and a toddler. So here we are. But speaking of that 18-week-old, as you know, we've been treating his reflux pretty well with some famotidine. And, you know, he had been spitting up, arching, like all the classic reflux problems in addition to not gaining weight particularly well.
Oh, right.
So my doctor, well, my mom first and then my doctor got him on these H2 antagonists, is like the idines, the famotidine, ranitidine, that sort of thing. That Cece had been on, I think, ranitidine, right?
Is that Zantac?
It is, and it had gotten recalled, right? So now they put you on famotidine instead of ranitidine. Anyway, it had been going great until this week when all of a sudden he started just having terrible reflux again.
Like,
arching, all this stuff, spitting up. And it was so bad, I started counting. Like, I wanted to, like, take notes of every time he spit up to try to prove to my doctor, like, that I'm not just overreacting. Because I think doctors are a little hesitant sometimes to treat reflux in babies because it's so common. Like, spitting up is so common, right? All babies spit up a little bit. So I wanted to have, like, hard data, because it's me, on how many times he spit up. So do you want to take a guess how many times he spit up in a 24-hour period?
24-hour period? Well, he was probably asleep.
Yeah, he's asleep for about 13 to 15 hours of this period.
Yeah, so maybe let's say he's awake for 10 hours. I would say, like, maybe once per hour, like 10 times?
He spit up 27 times.
Oh, my God.
In that 24-hour period. And to be fair, I lumped a few of those spit ups together. You know, if it was like one after another, I just counted it as one.
Yeah.
Poor little dude.
Ugh. So uncomfortable. No wonder he's having trouble gaining weight.
I know, right? I mean, he can barely keep his food down.
Aww.
Thank goodness for my abundant milk supply, or else the poor thing would be like starving to death. But yeah, so I felt bad. So I, of course, left like a frantic message with my doctor, and she finally got back to me and she said, you know, I think it's time to move on to a PPI, which is a proton pump inhibitor, which is sort of like the next level of treatment for gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD.
Okay.
Glamorous disease, GERD.
GERD.
I also have GERD. So I'm very familiar with all these medicines. And that's your, like, Omeprazole's, you know, like your Prilosec is the brand name, right? And my mom, of course, is all over this. So she's like calling her pediatrician, GI doc, specialist friend to, like, find out what's going on with her precious little grandbaby. And what we find out from the GI doc is that apparently the H2 antagonists, like the famotidine, they work initially, and then after a few weeks, they stop working.
Oh, hey, good to know.
So that happened to us.
Oh,
and so,
man,
we're getting him some omeprazole or something similar. I don't really know. My doctor sent the prescription in. So we're hoping to get that next week. But of course, it's like delayed. And, you know, and it turns out it has to be compounded. So it's like, it's a whole thing. So now we're just waiting on it, and I'm just covered in spit up again, just like soaked all the time. Poor buddy.
Oh, is it affecting his sleep?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's sleeping not great again, you know, waking up, I think, like 2 times a night. But I mean, I think like I said, he's such a chill guy that it kind of masks the pain he's in and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, his baseline is so chill that when he's in pain, he's sort of like normal baby level.
Right.
Which is why we didn't notice it earlier. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, poor little dude.
I hope you guys can get that quickly, get him feeling better.
Yes, thank you. I am also hoping that. And then I just, real quick, I need to share one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about me. I've had a revelation this week.
Ooh.
I have realized that I, Laura Bierek, the mother of these two children, need to stop being emotionally invested in whether and how much they nap.
That's huge. How did you get there?
I'm saying I've realized I need to do this. I don't know if I'm there yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how did you get to the realization?
I got to the realization after like another day of watching the monitor and watching Augie just like dance around and sing and play and then stand up and go, "Mama, Mama, I need to potty." And then lying back down and then doing this for about 2 hours until he doesn't nap. And then I finally give in and go in and he says, "I didn't want to nap."
Oh, jeez.
I realize that I am putting like an emotional value and like a moral value on whether or not he naps, mostly because I crave the alone time.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure it's as important to him as it is to me.
It doesn't seem like it. Seems like he's not into it.
He's not into it. I think he still needs it because he still melts down like crazy on the nights he doesn't nap, you know, in the evenings. So I think he physically needs it, but he doesn't care whether he naps or not. Like, it doesn't matter to him. And it matters so much to me because I crave the alone time and the solitude and the peace.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm torturing myself by doing this.
Especially if you spend the time he's in there just staring at the monitor and listening to him.
Well, part of the problem is I'm terrified he's going to, like, fall out of the crib. So I keep checking it because he's going to figure it out sooner or later. Like, I have him in the sleep sack and he climbs all over everything. So he's going to figure out how to get out of the crib. And I'm like terrified. I'm just going to miss him bunking to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I keep checking it to make sure he's not, because sometimes he's just singing, but sometimes he's kind of leaning over and being upset. And so I need to know whether I need to rush in and be like, "Lie down. Don't kill yourself on this crib." So,
right. Do you have the mattress on the lowest setting?
Oh, yeah. And unfortunately, I have the type of crib where you can't like put it on the ground. I guess some cribs you can take out the whole bottom part and just set it on the ground. My crib won't do that. The legs are kind of like under where the crib goes.
Oh, I see. Darn.
So it's at as low as it'll go. And he's getting taller. And yeah, he needs probably a toddler bed, but we're about to move. And they say, like, don't do any big transitions like that at the same time. So anyway.
Yeah, that's tricky. A toddler bed sounds like it might be in your near future. Maybe one that's like shaped like a truck or something really cool that he loves.
I think you're right. I think you're right. But for now, I'm going to try to embrace the state that we're in and try not to get morally invested, emotionally invested in whether he naps, because the only one who suffers is me.
Yeah. Well, that's a good realization to come to. Maybe you can start to release some of that stress around it now.
I hope
that's
so.
Good.
I hope so. We'll see if I can actually put it into practice. But it was like a light bulb went off. It was like,
good.
Anyway, that is my check-in for this
All
week.
Right.
Got a lot of spit up. We're getting ready for the move, and I gotta stop caring about these naps so much.
Sounds good.
But do you want to take a break and then come back with our special segment?
Oh, I do, because I got a good one for you.
Yay!
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is Throwback, where we tell stories from our childhoods that help inform our parenting these days, or just, you know, are funny. I don't know. Maybe there's no lessons learned. Maybe it's just a good story. And because our stories are so great, we have to each take an episode to tell them, because we don't want to give them short shrift, right? Mm-hmm. We want to be able to explore these stories in detail. So this week, Shauna, mm-hmm. you're up first
okay.
to tell your throwback story. And I can't wait to hear it. I love hearing your throwbacks.
Aw, thanks. Okay. Okay, today I'm taking it back to the 80s in Phoenix, Arizona, where I grew up. 1986, I was 8 years old when I, drumroll, got glasses.
Ooh.
I did not feel as excited as you just sounded. I have had a very difficult relationship with my eyesight my whole mm-hmm. life. And, you know, I was squinting at the TV and everything. And so my parents took me into the optometrist at Sears department store to check things out. And it turns out I had what is called an extreme astigmatism.
Ooh.
Like a normal astigmatism, like the diopters are like -1. This is like eye doctor speak. I don't know really what all this means. But mm-hmm. the higher you go, like the higher number, like the worse your astigmatism is, right? Like mm-hmm. so bad astigmatism is like -4. And I was like up past -6 to where the Whoa. Doctor was just like, whoa, yeah, like every eye doctor I've ever been to is almost like, how are you not blind? Seriously, like I really could not see well at all. Things were extremely blurry. So,
and mm-hmm. can you remind me? So, astigmatism is different from just like nearsighted or farsighted. It's like blurriness. Is that it? What? How is it different than nearsighted or farsightedness?
So, with astigmatism, the front part of your eye, like the lens, is curved differently. So, it's almost mm-hmm. misshapen. They always explained it to me like, the front of your eyeball, instead of like a basketball type round, is more like a football shape. It's like oblong
nice.
Or something. Yeah. Like, I have pointy eyeballs. Cool, cool, cool. And it was very blurry. Just everything around was blurry. I tell people, like, if you relax your eyes kind of, you know, and kind of go cross-eyed a little bit and everything goes blurry around you, that's like how I saw all the time.
Mm, wow.
Yeah. So that took a very intense level of correction. I had to get, you know, like expensive glasses. They were pretty thick. They were weird shape. Like they're thick around the outside, thin on the inside. I could only look through like the center of my glasses to see clearly. Like if I looked up or to the side, it was blurry. So it just glasses annoyed me, you know, and not to mention the fact I lived in Phoenix, which is extremely hot, mm-hmm. sweaty environment. I was somewhat athletic. I played softball and I was just very physical. I didn't want glasses in my way on my face. So I didn't love them. And as I got older, I became more obsessed with like being cool. And I was very tuned into the fact that glasses were not cool, especially mm-hmm. in this era. Like nowadays, kids can wear glasses and be cool as fuck because like there's great styles and, you know, yeah. like popular cool people wear them. This is the era of like Steve Urkel from Family Matters, right? Like huge dorky glasses. Mm-hmm.
Four eyes was like a real insult people threw around.
Yes. Oh, definitely. And the glasses of the era were not cool. They were huge. They took up like 50 to 80% of my face, which was small, you know, small face, huge glasses, like plastic frame. So anyway, none of the attractive kids at school wore glasses. And I'm just like, I just want to fit in and be cool. And talking to the optometrist, it was always like, you know, contacts are an option for everybody else, not for you, because your eyes are so bad. The technology has not caught up to where there's a contact lens that will correct your vision. So, you know, give it a few years, let the technology catch up.
I remember contacts in the 80s and early 90s because my mom had them. Mm-hmm. And they were so different than they are now. Like now there's these like barely, you can barely feel them, soft, you know, you get new ones every day or whatever, right?
Yeah.
You have disposable ones. I remember she had like, they were like big and rigid and like she had to wash yes. them every day. And I just remember like the whole maintenance process of her contacts was like fascinating to me as a child. But I have a very clear and vivid memory of how the technology was back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not great.
Not great at all. For a long time, the prevailing standard was hard contact lenses, right? They were very rigid and kind of sat on your eye like a piece of glass. And like, I don't want that. Like, I got to wait for the technology for soft contact lenses for mm-hmm. astigmatism. And I waited and waited patiently. And in my freshman year of high school, I somehow at 5'2" made the basketball team. my freshman basketball team. I was very sporty. I tried out for literally every sport, got cut for most of them, and I guess basketball, they needed people. And but it was fun. I loved it. And running back and forth on the court with glasses slipping down my face. I mean, it sucked. I hated it. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'm just like begging my parents. I'm like, is there anything we can do? I'm desperate for contact lenses. And on top of basketball, like, I want to wear sunglasses. Like, I want to wear regular cool girl sunglasses that aren't like some fucking flip up shades, you know? I had this vision in my head of who I wanted to be without glasses. So my parents take me back to the optometrist. I'm like, is there anything we can do here? And the doctor's like, well, the technology has advanced a bit since you were 8 years old.
How old are you now? Can you just remind us?
14 years old. I'm a freshman in high school.
Okay.
And he's like, the technology for contact lenses has improved. We now make soft contact lenses for astigmatism.
Great.
But only up to a certain diopter. So I'm like -6 diopter, right?
Uh-huh.
He's like, we can get you contact lenses for a portion of your eyesight. So up to like -4 diopter. Okay. So you'll mostly be able to see. And then when you need to like really see clearly, you can put glasses on top of your contacts that make up the rest of your prescription.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, perfect. Sign me up.
Sounds like a great plan. Let's do it. Okay.
So this is what we did because I was so desperate to not wear glasses all the time, and mm-hmm. especially in the basketball court. So my parents bought me these contact lenses that weren't even my full prescription and a pair of glasses on top of it that I could only see out of when I was wearing these contacts, right? So it's like a -2 diopter. Amazing. And these contact lenses are custom made, of course. They are so expensive. They're not like disposable lenses, right? Mm-hmm. They're supposed to last a year at least.
Wow.
It's just like your mom did, right? Take them out every night, wash them, soak them, do the whole thing, put them back in the next day and wear them for a long time. Because they were like, I don't know, at least a couple $100 for one pair of contact lenses, which is a lot of money for my family at the time. My parents went along with this. Bless their hearts. I was on top of the world. I like immediately went out and got a pair of cool sunglasses like from Charlotte Russe or some store at the mall. I like figured I wanted to wear them on my head, you know, when they weren't on my eyes. I wore them in class all the time on my head like I was some cool girl. It was amazing. And on the basketball court, I would run around without glasses. Granted, I couldn't see 100%. I could see about 60%.
What was your shooting average?
Surprisingly not good. I was not great at basketball. My heart was in it. But it was fun. It was amazing. I was like finally like the person I wanted to be, right? Mm-hmm. I just never identified with glasses. And the contacts were it for me. I was so, so, so happy. And so about 3 days after I got these new contact lenses, I'm doing my whole routine at night in the bathroom. I pop them out. I have the contact solution. They taught me, like, I put the contact lens in my hand, put a little solution on it, rub it around with my finger, and like then pick it up and rinse it and everything. So I'm doing this, and all of a sudden, the contact lens slips out of my fingers and falls into the sink. And I'm like, no, 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 no. And I go, like, try to get it. And boom, it goes down the drain.
No.
In the bathroom sink. I was like, oh my God, my dreams have literally just gone down the drain. I had 3 glorious days with these contact lenses and being the person I was meant to be. I'm like, I can't tell my parents this just happened. They'd like spent hundreds of dollars on these and had emphasized like how I needed to be so responsible with them and everything. And it was just gone.
Oh, that's a gut punch.
Oh. And for a split second, I was like, maybe I can just get away with not telling them and just wear one contact lens for the rest of the year and like with my glasses on top. And then I'm like, wait, I can already not see fully out of the contact lenses. So I definitely can't also go without one, like one just missing. So I'm like, I have to tell my parents that I did this. I was devastated. So I go in and I'm like crying. And they're like, what is wrong? Because I never cried. I was very emotionally stoic as a child. And for the most part, I still am. They're like, what's wrong? I'm like, oh my God, I was washing my contact lens and it dropped and it went down the drain. And I'm so sorry. Oh my God, I'm so, so sorry. I'll pay you back or whatever. You know, it's just so devastated. And they're like, oh my God, Shauna, they're, you know, upset and disappointed and surprised and everything. But almost as quickly as those feelings came on, they snapped into problem-solving mode. My dad, especially, he's like, question, have you ran the water since you dropped that contact lens down the drain? I'm like, no, I was completely paralyzed with fear. I'd like barely even moved except to come tell you. He's like, perfect. I have a plan. I'm like, what? He goes to the shed and he gets his tools and he comes into the bathroom. He's like, I'm going to get that contact lens. I'm like, from where? The sewer? What are you talking about? He's like, the thing about bathroom drains is that they have like a U shape under them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever looked under a sink. I hadn't at that point in my life. I had no clue. Like,
Back then I had no idea. Now, no clue. You know, home ownership has led me into being somewhat handy. And I'm familiar with the little sink trap. But yes.
Yes.
The U shape underneath the sink.
Yeah. I had no idea that existed. I thought my lens had gone into the drain and straight into the sewer. So whatever. He's like, there's a U shape in the pipe. And I think if I can disassemble the pipes, I might be able to get the contact lens out and save it. I'm like, that's disgusting. Who knows what's in it? I'm imagining my beloved contact lens just like sitting in the remains of like my Noxzema face wash and toothpaste and, you know, all the shit that probably is down there. But I'm like, who cares? Don't give a fuck. Get that contact lens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he turns the water off the bathroom and disassembles the pipe with a ratchet or something. And he pulls the pipe out and he brings it up above and tips it over the sink and like drips of water come out. And it's just disgusting. But then, as if in slow motion, out tumbles my beautiful little contact lens.
Amazing.
He saved the day. I was like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you. My guilt for wasting their money was relieved. My like sense of coolness and identity was back. I was over the moon that he saved the day like that.
So how long did you scrub that before you put it back in your eye?
I know, so disgusting. Like, it was really gross and dirty, and my eyes burned just like thinking about putting it back in my eye. But I'm telling you, my attitude was like, DGAF, do not give a fuck.
Yeah.
This contact is everything. So I was given like some kind of like special super cleaner, like you're supposed to soak your lenses in super cleaner like once a week or something like that.
Okay.
So I set up this super cleaner oxidizer, I don't know what it does, and put my lens in that, let it soak overnight. That's all. And popped it in the next day and was on my merry way to wearing my sunglasses and seeing 60% and living my best life.
I bet you were so careful to not do your contact over the sink at that point, like ever again.
Oh my God, so careful. Yeah, like the lesson part of this came after the problem solving, right? My parents were like, Shauna, you have to be more responsible with your contact lenses. You have to be super careful, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I know. Like, I learned that lesson. That was like totally implicit. I know you need to say it, but I get it. And I was super careful after that and never dropped another one down the drain ever again.
Amazing.
Yes.
I can't say so much for me. Like, I drop my contacts in the sink all the time, but mm-hmm. I have like dailies, you know? So if it's really bad, I just, you know, I just say, oh, I'll toss this one. You know, they're not cheap either, but like, that's for a year, right? So I'm like, I can lose one and I'll reuse this one or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
It is totally different.
Yeah, very different. Well, you know, I didn't even know you had bad vision for the first couple of years I knew you because you were a contacts wearer.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point you put on glasses. Like maybe we had like a sleepover in grad school. I feel like you would come over for like parties and then just be there the next day. That's what life was like in your 20s.
Heck,
and you would put on glasses and I'd be like, what?
I know. I really, even then, did not like wearing them because it's just, when you have a bad astigmatism, it's hard to even see out of glasses. Like I said, you can't see out the sides well. And I just had a big complex about it. I will say that I have since gotten LASIK because the technology has advanced so much that they can now correct high astigmatism with LASIK, and that was a game changer for me. That was like the best thing I've ever spent money on in my entire life. I love it.
Do you have to wear contacts at all anymore, or are you like perfect?
No, no contacts, no glasses. It's funny because sometimes I go to bed at night and I still will like reach up to take off my glasses to put them on the bedside table, and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't wear glasses anymore. it makes me so happy. But yeah, so, you know, as far as like how that informs my parenting now, it's like, I think my parents were rock stars. Like, my dad was really a rock star there. Like, he jumped into problem solving mode before, you know, shaming me about making a mistake. And the fact that my parents went along with this, like, a cockamamie idea about this half good contact lenses with glasses on top, like, they saw how much it meant to me and were willing to help me like feel better about myself, basically. I think that's so cool. And I'm gonna try to take that into parenting my kids too, like just really try to hear them and see them, what makes them feel good about themselves, and see how I can support that.
Totally. It's like a yes and approach to parenting. Yeah, that's great. Oh, good job, Shauna's parents.
Yeah. And I will say, as an addendum, I didn't have to do that bonkers combo for very long. Like, the technology improved quickly and I got full, like, normal contact lenses like a year later or something.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so didn't have to do that forever. Anyway, all right. So that's my story. And you're going to tell yours next week, which I'm very excited to hear. But until then, should we take a break and move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
I think we should.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good. Make my shower feel like a spa and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicones, sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back and we're going to wrap it up as we always do with our weekly BFPs or BFNs. Laura, what do you got for us?
Okay, I have a BFP.
Okay.
And mine are moving related. Everything's going to be moving related probably for a little bit. Mine's a product I discovered on TikTok. I was like looking up the hashtag moving hacks because I was like, there's got to be better ways to move. And I didn't learn too much that was useful, except I found this product. And what they are heavy-duty moving bags. Have you ever heard of these?
No.
So the brand I got is Veno, V-E-N-O, but I think there's a couple different brands. And what they are made of is like, you know that IKEA blue bag fabric or plastic? It's like the heavy-duty sort of plastic that you can just fit anything into and it won't tear. It's like that, but it zips up. And it's more of like a long rectangular shape. It's that, you know, it's like more like of a, it's not a cube, but it's like a big, like oblong. What do you call?
Rectangle?
I know, but what do you call a three-dimensional rectangle?
Oh.
Right?
Polyzoid? I don't know.
Yeah, so it's a rectangular polyhedron, I guess.
Okay, there we go.
But anyway, it's like a long rectangle and it has straps to carry. It has a zipper to close it, but it also has backpack straps, which I think could be useful. I haven't used them yet, but they're really cool. They're reusable and you can like fit a bunch of stuff in them. So I got a set of 8 to use to just like throw. For instance, we're using it to throw like soft toys, you know, that you can just sort of stuff in there. They're good for clothes. They're good for just random knickknacks around. So I'm really into them. So again, I got them on Amazon. The brand I got was Veno Heavy Duty Extra Large Moving Bags with backpack straps, strong handles, and zippers. So
cool.
Oh, and they're right now they're $43.99 for a set of 8. So they're not the cheapest, but they are reusable. So and they're a little different than boxes.
Totally. I can see that being good for what we call the chowder when we move. Actually, a mover gave us this name. It was like, once you've boxed everything up, there's like random little things just like kind of hanging around your house. And the mover called that the chowder.
That's hilarious.
And so you could really like throw all the chowder in there. And often what becomes chowder is like the clothes that are hanging in my closet. I could see myself just like folding them up, putting them in there, shoes, that kind of thing. So that's, yeah, that sounds really, really handy. And you can use it in the future too. I don't know, go camping, use it as a duffel bag or something.
Yeah, or just for storage. Like we're going to have this big attic, but you don't want to just have stuff just sitting out. So it's sealed up in this plastic thing. So
cool. Awesome.
One little hack I found for moving.
Awesome. And and you can give it to Augie when he starts preschool as a backpack.
Gigantic. He can fit inside of it. Actually, wait. I'm going to show you what he thinks about this. Okay, I am texting you a picture of what Augie thinks of the bag.
Okay.
He's very into it, literally.
Oh my God, he's fully in the bag. It's zipped up and his adorable little head is peeking out and it is so funny and cute.
It's pretty cute. I mean, it's way bigger than him. Like, I think 2 Augies could fit in there. So.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my BFP this week. How about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP also.
Oh, good.
So one of my parenting conundrums has always been my disdain for crayons and markers. Like, I love my kids doing art, but crayons, it's like, I don't know what it is I hate about crayons. Like, Does anyone really like crayons? Like, they don't stay sharp. They kind of just like, if they sit outside, they melt. They kind of get dirty. I don't know. So we've never like had a ton of crayons. Markers. I love markers. My kids love markers. But we go through markers like hotcakes because they never put the lids back on and they dry out. And I spend so much like mental, emotional, and physical labor like chasing after them, putting caps back on markers that I was just over it. I'm like, there's got to be a better solution for art and coloring. And so I thought back to my old art days when I was taking art classes in college, and one of my favorite things to draw and color with were colored pencils. And so I was like, maybe I could get them some colored pencils. You know, I had been writing them off because sometimes when you get like kids colored pencils in art packs, they suck. Like the writing part of it is hard and it doesn't really color well or get dark.
Yeah, you have to push really hard to get the color in, and then when you do, it like snaps and
Yes, yes. So kids colored pencils suck. So I never thought about getting those for them. But, you know, I was kind of hoity-toity about colored pencils back in my art days. And I was like, Prismacolor colored pencils.
Prismacolors. Oh, I loved those.
Right? So good. The cool thing about Prismacolor is that the lead part of the pencil, the colored part, is actually pretty soft. So it's easy to either color lightly or color dark with these. And they just color beautifully. And their thing is, they're like kind of pricey. So I had it in my mind, I'm like, I want to buy my kids some Prismacolor. But no, I don't want to because they're pricey and I can just get them markers for like $5. And I was just wasting so much money on markers and time putting caps back on. I was like, fuck this. I'm getting them some expensive Prismacolor colored pencils. It was like $20 for a pack of like 24 or something. And it has been a game changer. I love it. I got them also a little electric battery operated pencil sharpener.
Ooh,
to go with
it.
And they are obsessed with it. Like, they think sharpening pencils with this little electric sharpener is the most exciting thing ever. I get it. I was too obsessed with pencil sharpeners when I was a kid. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. My concern would be like, if I did that with Augie, that he would just sharpen, sharpen, sharpen until the pencil was no longer a pencil.
That is possible. We have got a few shorties so far. I do have to teach Cece the right way to use it. She's definitely tried to put her pinky finger in there. She's put a few veggie straws in there. And it's just like, no, you can't sharpen food or your finger. She got it. She got it. She's doing well now. And it's just awesome. Like, they color in their coloring pages and I don't have to put caps on anything. Nothing dries out. These $20 colored pencils are lasting way longer than a pack of markers. And I just, it's great. Love it.
And you can probably use them too. Like, it's probably fun for you to be next to them drawing when they're drawing.
Yeah, that is true. We got a really cool cat coloring book that's a little bit more adult-like, you know, it's like got the details and stuff. Elle really likes doing those. And I do too. It is fun and relaxing, like, to get a really sharp colored pencil and like colored tiny spaces. It's very satisfying for some reason.
That does sound fun. Now I want to do this.
Yes, do it. Do it. Do it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that because also we need to up our art game here. I've mentioned this before that like we don't do enough art here. So maybe that will encourage him. You'll have to post what the electric pencil sharpener is, right?
On our, yes.
So everyone can buy them and so I can buy one too. Yeah,
I will.
Yeah, I look forward to this.
Okay, and then maybe we'll get together and have a color pencil art party one of these days.
Yeah, we need to do that next time. You know, we actually got together this week. It's just so normal now that we don't even need to talk about it. But we got together at your house. It was so fun. Mm-hmm. And the kids were on your like platform swing or trampolines. What do you call it?
I don't know. Yeah, platform swing or disc
swing. And Steve was being the like launch master. I don't know what you'd call it, but it was so fun. So we'll have to post some pictures of that too, because that was too fun. But yeah, next time maybe we'll get them to do some art.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have any throwback stories for us? Anything from your past or childhood that influences your parenting now? You know we love to hear from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo. We love getting those to contact at BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group on the internet, search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join, answer the two membership questions, and we'll send you straight on through so you can join in on the great conversations we're having in there.
And if you love our show, please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let everyone know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thank you for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.